Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 14th of June, recording at 5:39 p.m. British Standard Time. Well, let's start with stock markets, where it's a bit like the old Grand Duke of York story, you know, the one about marching the troops all the way up the hill, only to march them straight back down again. And in the previous 3 weeks, we've seen the Duke marched the stock markets back up the hill, where last week they began to falter. Some indices had shown a minor downward dynamic last Wednesday, and then there was sort of the retracement rally in a number of instances, didn't move back above those highs on Thursday and Friday. A couple were soft on Friday, and most are getting hit in here today. And let me just bring you up to date on what we've seen here. One of the bigger hits was Hang Seng in the Far East, down over 2.5%, nearly 320 points. European indices have been soft pretty well all day. Well, I wasn't in this morning, having had an appointment, but they're certainly closing soft, with the declines of sort of 1.5%, pretty well across the boards. A little smaller in terms of the UK, but still down 50 points. That qualifies as a minor dynamic. The DAX is definitely a dynamic, down 66 points. OMX down 1.36%, that's over nine points, so quite soft. And Wall Street's currently hovering. Well, the Dow's picked up a tiny bit from its lows, but it's at down 78.11 on the S&P and 29 points on the NASDAQ. So now these are not backbreaking dynamics, but certainly the rallies show a loss of upside momentum against the background of short-term overbought conditions, and of course the proximity of prior resistance levels. Now, this isn't game, set, and match as far as the bears are concerned. I mean, we know that we've still got a trading range in here, and even in a bullish environment, having marched from the bottom of the range up to the upper side of the range, we'd expect at least a pause and some backing and filling. But I've seen enough. You know, I was saying I didn't want to try to be too clever in here and go in short on the highs of a rally, so wait to see some deterioration, and I've seen enough. So I've gone in and shorted a little bit more in here, hitting the NASDAQ and the S&P and the MIB. I would have hit the DAX, but I felt it had sort of run away from me by the time I got into the office, and therefore I'll hold a little firepower in reserve just in case these things churn around or market steady up tomorrow or later in the week near current levels. I may well add a little bit more. So this puts me well and truly net short across the boards here. As you know, I'd talked about hedging my remaining long positions, if mostly in Asia, which is continuing to underperform, and I expect that. As you know, I feel that the emerging Asian markets, such as Thailand, India, Indonesia, and of those three, it was really Thailand and India that gave the clearest lead. I haven't followed the Indonesian market very closely in terms of having an influence on the actual global trend. So this, incidentally, for new subscribers, this is something that I do in every cycle. And I'll do it in metals. So for instance, look for the lead metal in the cycle, platinum and precious metals, and nickel in the industrial metals, and expect the leader to lead in both directions. Well, getting back to stock markets, it was Thailand and India. They showed the best, clearest base formation development last year back in it was very apparent back in March, just as the rally was beginning to get underway. As the military maneuver to remove Saddam Hussein's regime was commencing, And they led on the way up, and they led right on through, and then peaked in January. And what have the rest of the world's markets done? Well, they followed them up with mostly lesser percentage gains, and subsequently topping out a little bit later and going into these overall ranging patterns. And my stance here has been that the environment is dangerous, first overall. That last year we had lots of consistent trends in lots of areas, from stock markets to bonds for a while. Bonds during the first half of the year on the way up, and then big 3 months on the downside, and then a more choppy trend on the upside. But we had the stock market rallies, which were very, very consistent. We had the metal rallies, which for the most part were quite consistent, and some metals were just breaking out or completing base formation. Silver was a classic example. And so the point was that there were a lot of good trends, and when there are good trends in the market, we can do really quite well. All we have to do is observe the trends, see which ones are moving, preferably pick up on some of the leaders where there's good relative strength. Use disciplined trailing stops, build a position incrementally, in other words, gradually, raising the stops all along, and one can do extremely well with very limited risk, as if you were around this time last year, you witnessed right on through the end of the year and well into this year. Now we're in an environment of just choppy trends all over the place without exception, and it's dangerous. It's a whipsaw territory. The risk-reward ratio has evened out. And so I've said over and over again that those who aren't intuitive, instinctive traders just may wish to sit this out. We don't have to be in the markets all the time, and I've also pointed a critical finger at myself and said I've got too many positions overall, no doubt about it, and have taken some unnecessary risks in some areas, mainly silver, and being a little bit too aggressive in my baby steps repurchasing program, and therefore jeopardizing profits, although I haven't taken any losses in that so far. But I certainly will if it doesn't rally between now and when the July contract expires, because the baby steps profits that I've taken, where positions bounced in the September contracts and I was able to lighten and then subsequently repurchase again, as you know, where I've done that the gains that I've made there do not well offset really no more than a quarter of what would be my open position losses on some of those positions. And my open position profits, well, depends where we are within a given day, and silver can be quite volatile, but they at most offset, say, combined a third of the open position losses. Mind you know, you push, give silver 2, 3, 4 days on the upside, and it would move into a profitable position. But equally, I would be a considerable risk in terms of having to allocate more capital to finance the position if it were to do the opposite and move down for 2, 3, 4 days. But we'll see. My point in reviewing all that is just to say that, to point the critical finger at myself, I've taken more risks than I really should have in terms of dealing with that. I've been more restrained in other positions. Okay, what else have we got here? The bond markets. I keep hoping for those JGBs to push up a little bit, and they were starting to lose downside momentum on Thursday and Friday, but got hit again this morning in Japan. That's a big bear trade. It's just that they're a little bit technically oversold in the short term, and I would dearly love to see the BOJ step in and bid the bid its bond market up as it has done in the past. But that may be a forlorn hope here. If you are short those, and I've been talking about shorting the JGBs, and have been shorting them sort of on an awful year, as you know, and taking profits out of that market. But if you are wiser than I and still have a short position in JGBs, I mean, I think it's a classic tight trailing stop situation. And US bonds, I dearly love to see those bounce. They're a little softer in here, but basically range bound. The last profit that I took in the bonds was around these levels. It's currently trading at 103.17 on the September contract, but these are bearish trends, and I think will remain bearish trends until rising interest rates look like choking off growth in the US and causing fears to temporarily swing away from inflationary pressures, which are rising, as you know, towards the deflationary pressures. Say this, and as Bill Gross had described it, as a fire and ice situation, and lots of people have subsequently been saying, including myself, well, are we going to get to, but the big debate has been, are we going to get the fire inflation or the ice deflation? And my answer is that we will have periods where it will feel very much as if we're getting one and then the other. So it won't be just inflation, it won't be just deflation. Right now, it's the fire that the Fed is fearing, and rightly so. And so it's going to have to move up interest rates and move them up more than, in all likelihood, than most investors are allowing for. And the only way that won't happen, in my view, is if there's some sort of horrendous exogenous shock to the to the system, to the financial system, such as a major terrorist attack in the continental USA, which hopefully doesn't happen, or something else equally desperate that again we hope doesn't happen. So, aside from that exogenous shock, I would maintain that the Fed is going to move up interest rates sufficiently, certainly to keep stock markets from breaking up out of these ranges. But as you know, there's a big group of investors who and strategists, particularly on Wall Street, who say, no, look at the money supply figures. This is a clear indication that that the Fed is so concerned about the economy slowing that it's just pumping in all this excess liquidity here, and that will float markets higher. And I'm not hedging my views by acknowledging the fact that, of course, those people could be right. Nobody's cornered the market in all the good guesses here. But right now, I'm backing the short side increasingly in terms of stocks, as you know. And I'd love to be able to back the short side at higher levels in bonds. Elsewhere, currencies. We've had the dollar pick up a bit against, I beg your pardon, we've had the euro pick up a bit against the US dollar. It's at 120.58 as I speak. That has helped some of the metals for a while, but then they've lost those gains, particularly silver, which has been all over the place. But let me come back to that and go through the currencies here. The greenback, though, has firmed a bit generally, and I guess on the belief that these U.S. interest rates are going to go higher. And of course, if the dollar were to move, dollar rates were to be higher than those of Europe, let alone Japan, that would lend some support to the dollar. Where you have positive interest rate differentials, it's expensive to short that currency, as you know. And U.S. interest rates have been these very, very low 1% levels. So, if we get 3 or 4% U.S. interest rates, which people are starting to talk about in terms of federal funds rate, then that would lend some support to the dollar, provided it hadn't been offset by even higher rates just about for just about every other major currency. So, I mentioned dollar yen a little bit further, firmer. We're looking at 111.30 as I speak, and the yen's a bit soft in here today generally. But as far as currencies are excuse me, are concerned, as you know, it's been very, very choppy activity, and I'm finding trades here very, very resistible. It's just too choppy overall. In the commodity markets that I was starting to mention, how the firmer euro had helped, but we had silver, for instance, get down to This is July silver now. It got down to the 564 and then pushed up to 578 and then fell back down to 563. So this really is volatile. I ought to tighten up some of my baby steps trades in this range. I haven't done anything else in here today, although I've had two baby steps purchases on this latest setback, and may well pick up another if I get another chance here tomorrow around the 560 or lower range if I see it. Elsewhere in the industrial metals, bit of a mixed game there, though lead's a little bit firmer. I'm still in there. I spoke to the brokers. I did have a stop in at 750 on my lead purchase, and although it touched that, according to the Bloomberg screen last week, evidently. Well, that may not have been a valid quote as far as the LME broker that my position is sitting with, because it wasn't hit. Fortunately for me, it was up a little bit in here today. Let me just get that price, because I know some of you have that as well. And the 3 months lead position at 783. That's up 21. That's not bad. And we've got a $49. Backwardation there at the moment. So some of the other metals were up, and tin a little bit firmer in here. Still, though, $325 below where I was stopped out rather disappointingly last week for a tiny profit. But very mixed action. Sideways trading ranges in these metals as well. Last but not least, now let's look at oil. Well, also soybeans in here. Soybeans are quite strong today, up 16.25, having been lower here. So 7.08 on the September position. I've got a duff trade there. I've been resisting the temptation to pick it up here in what is the bottom of a trading range, because I wanted to see some sort of upward dynamic, and I've been cautious in terms of adding so far, but this is better technical action, and about time on the soybeans. You still got a backwardation there, so I'm not reaching for the panic button here just yet. And also one that, let me look at the natural gas. Remember that had the upside key day reversal on Friday, so I picked up a position that I'd stopped out of earlier. We've had follow through in here today, up at 6.34 as the last traded. Has been higher, has been as high as 6.42, but that's not bad technical action here, and looks to me like we could see a little bit further recovery and move towards the upper side of the range that we saw at the beginning of the month. But that's occurring despite a sell-off here of about 55 cents at current prices for the spot crude NYME, currently trading at 38.12. That's got to get back above 40 to start worrying bond and equity investors once again. But of course, equity investors have got enough to worry about in terms of short-term interest rates and the scope for hikes from the Fed and resistance near the higher side of the range and a short-term overbought condition, thus my increased bearish outlook in here today. Have an excellent evening.